Your national orienteering podcast. Map and compass, navigation skill, orienteering competition.
Jeg bommet noe jævlig på bossen her oppe.
Running like a motherfucker. Your national orienteering podcast.
Warm welcome to Your national orienteering podcast. We are recording this 1st of April. But this is not a joke. Now, during Easter, it's really lots of, actually some serious racing also. But about the 1st of April, is it like in Norway, also in Switzerland, Ivar, when you have these 1st of April jokes?
I don't really know. So I'm now on a training camp with the Swiss junior team. And today I haven't heard any of them making any of these April jokes, so I guess it's not a big thing. In the orienteering world, I've seen one pretty good one. It was both on Uko Linné and Kalmar Rasti's websites that they are making a fusion where the two clubs goes together for the to become a common club for the big international relays. And it was pretty well done, both on the Linné website and on the Kalmar Rasti website, but I mean, quite obviously a joke, not too probable and too realistic, but still a bit funny.
Yeah, it's good that the both two clubs combine the joke. Then it's more, easier to let that joke be a truth. But I think in Norway, after Donald Trump became president, it was so much real news who was supposed to be jokes. So here in Norway, they were almost off in the newspapers, at least.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I mean, the serious media should be serious. And I mean, we are also trying to be serious media. So we should also keep it serious and don't make any jokes. So, yeah, most of the things we are saying today is factual, I hope.
Yeah, we are starting with actually, it could have been a joke, but the Spanish champs, it was cancelled because of rain and too much water in the terrain, actually. So there was supposed to be, I think it was a three distance with Spanish champs this weekend, but all of them was cancelled because of heavy rain and then too much water and flow in the terrain. I don't know what they will do with that, but at least there were no competitions this weekend.
Yeah, and that's a shame because these Spanish champs is often good races with decent start fields. But yeah, you know, when the weather makes the terrain possibly dangerous, I think it's good to cancel it before something goes bad.
Friend of mine. I have some friends. They were going down there from Bergen, where it used to rain a lot. And then they went to Spain to run some orienteering. But then it was raining even more than in Bergen. So it was a miscalculations there. But in France, they managed to have middle distance champs on Saturday. Quite good start field there. And some tight races, I would say.
Yeah, and most of the best French runners, they were taking part. So we saw some familiar names in the top of the result list. On the women's side, Cécile Calandry won quite clear, 1.5 minute ahead of Isiah Basset, with Florence Hanauer in third place, a bit more than 2 minutes down. And yeah, I guess together with Maëlle Beauvier, these three girls are the four French girls that are having the most impressive results internationally the last 5 years or so. It's good to see that national championship still can attract the top runners in the nation. It's sad when it doesn't fit with the international calendar or something like that. But yeah, the French did it good here with middle distance early in the season. On the men's side, Loïc Capin took the victory ahead of Mathieu Perrin, Quentin Rottier in third place. So yeah, also here we see most of the best French runners, they were taking part. And yeah, I was also very impressed by the size of the fields. It was really, really big, not only in the elite classes, but also in the junior classes and youth classes. French orienteering seems to be in a pretty good place.
Yeah, and there was a Frenchman competing in Sweden also this weekend, but we will come back to that later in this episode, I think. But if we travel from France, we can go to Latvia, where they were sprinting a national champs. And there was also visitor from foreign countries taking part. So, but we can start with the women's class, where it was national champs who also won the race.
Yeah, so in the women's class, Sandra Grossberger won the race and also the Latvian championship. I think that was not a big surprise. She's had some really good sprint results in the last few years. And at home ground in Latvia, she should be a step above the others. On the men's side, we saw another guy that should be a step ahead of the others, and he really were. Jannik Michels won the final with almost 20 seconds, so completely in his own division. But that should be quite expecting when his opposition is internationally not that strong. Some young Finnish guys, Arni Ronka and Sampo Sankelo, I think both of them have good results from JWOC the last few years. In second and fourth place with another Finn, Hannes Nikkinen, in third place. And yeah, I mean, for those who are following the World Cup closely, you would assume that Jannik should beat these guys quite comfortably.
Jannik, he is traveling all over Europe to get some really sprint races. So I mean, he's up to something this season, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's he's getting older. He doesn't have that many world championships left at the highest level. So it makes sense that he's actively trying to pursue the best preparation possible for the world champs this summer. And it's a really good preparation is to run different sprint races in different types of terrain to be open and prepared for what comes in Scotland in 4 months' time.
And we can travel to actually Great Britain, at least. It's a really big event in Great Britain during Easter, the JK races. All the Brit elite are taking part there. And that's a three-day competition individually, and it's ending with a relay. So actually 4 days, starting with a sprint competition.
I'm not sure if we can say that all the British elite is there. For example, Ralph Street, that lives in Norway, he doesn't travel back for these kind of races. But we have a lot of names that we normally see representing Great Britain internationally, both the junior world champs and so on, and also in the world champs, World Cup and those races. So, pretty big start fields, good competitions. But this year, normally you've seen JK is often like World Cup selection races or something like that, meaning that you see a lot of people trying to really top the form for these kind of races. This year, I don't think it's a selection race, and I'm not sure how serious people are making the preparations for these kind of races, if it's really all in for this weekend or if it's just like a training goal on the way to more important races later. But if we start with the sprint, on the women's side, we actually had a New Zealander winning, Laura Robertson, the more famous sister of Tim Robertson. She took a victory ahead of Fiona Bunn, and with Charlotte Ward in third place. Fiona Bunn has some medals from JWOC a couple of years ago. Charlotte Ward is an experienced runner with some good results internationally in sprint races. On the men's side, Peter Hodkinson won. That's good to see. I think in the last few years he's been missing a little bit from the top of these kind of result list. I think it's been a while since he was really at his best. I've not seen him represent Britain that much the last few years, but at his best he was a very, very decent sprint runner, getting solid results at World Cup and World Championship. And now he's winning with comfortable margin ahead of Nathan Lawson and Freddie Carcass, Jonathan Crickmore in fourth, Chris Smithard in fifth. I think the depth of the British sprint guys are pretty good. So when you can beat these kind of guys with a significant margin, that's a good sign for the upcoming season. So maybe we see some kind of a comeback from Peter Hodkinson this year.
Yeah, and sprint is quite important this spring and summer. And after the sprint race, it was a middle distance race, and there the second position, Fiona Bunn, made a revenge.
Yeah, second place in the sprint, the day after she won the middle distance, beating Megan Carter-Davies with 16 seconds. And then Laura King in third place was almost 2 minutes down. It's good to see Megan Carter-Davies back in the result list. I think we talked about her last time. Yeah, around POM and Maximus Umiting. And we haven't seen much of her since then. And at least now she's taking part in races. I guess that's a good sign after struggling with injuries. But yeah, you would presume that normally Megan Carter-Davies in very good form, she should be winning these kind of races. So she probably still has a bit of work to do before the World Championship this summer.
But even though she and Fiona Bunn was kind of a class of their own there, winning with almost 2 minutes ahead of Laura King. So, yeah.
Yeah,
they have some better speed than the others here.
Yeah, but that's also that shouldn't be a surprise. Yeah, you know, the Fiona Bunn has not really made the big breakthrough at senior level yet. But I mean, yeah, in her last junior year, she was really, really good, winning medals at JWOC in Denmark. She has done some good relay legs for Södertälje and Nykvarn in the big relays also. So she's a good runner, but so far she hasn't been able to take the step up into the top 20, top 10 at the World Cup. Maybe this is the year. We will have to see.
And in the men's class here, it was a good race for Hutchinson, but he was not winning.
Yeah, so first place in the sprint, third place in the middle distance. So good start of the weekend for Peter Hutchinson. Johnny Crickmore took a quite clear victory ahead of Simon Harden. Simon Harden, the guy that has been, I think he's been officially representing Sweden until now, but of course he has not been running the World Cups and so for Sweden. But from this year, he's a part of the British national team and he is representing Britain. So I think that's why for him it's probably a good decision to go to Britain and run these races instead of the Swedish League, to show a bit of commitment and making sure that he's getting to show his level also in Britain. So it's not only that he's racing in Sweden and then maybe coming for selection races. But yeah, he's a young guy, he's a good runner. And yeah, when Johnny Quickmore is winning with more than a minute ahead of him, that's a sign of a decent race from Johnny Quickmore.
And in the long distance, we really could see that they had to work a long day, more than 1.5 hours.
Yeah, a proper long distance. But I mean, yeah, if we're being a little bit harsh, you know, the British women, except of Megan Carter-Davies, have not really shown a lot of top results internationally on these kind of races. So for example, when Cecil Anderson is winning here with 95 minutes, I think it's fair to assume that a girl like Tove Alexandersson or Simone Eberschold should be maybe 15 minutes faster.
Yeah, so you mean that so much that 15?
In such a long race, you know, the gaps are getting big on the women's side.
And Anderson was here winning with almost 2 minutes.
So Lucy Walker in second place and Naomi Hunter in third place. So I think Cecil Anderson has been running quite a lot of World Cups the last few years. The other two I'm not that familiar with. Fiona Bunn in fourth place and Laura Robertson in fifth place is runners I have a better view of how good they really are internationally. So, but yeah, I mean, it's always hard to predict how good is this, how good is that. You know, the result, what would you have done in a World Cup race? You only get that in a World Cup race.
Yeah, it's only world champs where you get the world championship medals. So, but in the men's class, there was another guy on top here.
Yeah, a very interesting name, Luke Fisher. I must honestly confess that when I saw the result list, I was thinking, who is Luke Fisher? And then I had to look him up. And yeah, he's 20, I think 26, 27 years old. He's not having a lot of world ranking events registered on him. Last year in this JK, he was quite far down the result list. 2 years ago, he was number 15. So now he's clearly taking a big step and he had a really, really good race. But yeah, it must be one of the biggest surprises of the orienteering season 2024 so far. Winning, yeah, with 1 minute ahead of Chris Mitterd and 2 minutes ahead of Simon Harden. I mean, this is guys that are pretty solid. I mean, Chris Mitterd is often running well in these kind of long distance races in Great Britain. Simon Harden is a good runner. Nathan Lawson in fourth place is also pretty decent. So I must say that I did not see this one coming.
Surprises so far this season, we can be talking about that later on in this episode. We should let that still be somewhere in the air, but we can continue with JK and conclude with the relays that were held second day of Easter. What do you call it? Second Easter day.
I think in English you only say Easter Sunday and Easter Monday. But I must say that's not my strength side. But I think you just say Easter Monday. But yeah, relays have always the last race of the JK. Quite fun format. Often, yeah, you have three legs on the women's side, three legs on the men's side, both with running times around 30 minutes. So that means it's always quite close, even if the depth of the start fields are not that big. But on the women's side, for example, we saw two teams within 45 seconds. So that means there was a good fight on the last leg where, yeah, South Yorkshire Orienteers won ahead of Edinburgh University. And then the South Yorkshire second team in third place, they were 10 minutes down, but you got a real, real battle for the victory. And that's good to see after 90 minutes of relay running. And if it was close on the women's side, it was extremely close on the men's side, where you had four teams within half a minute in the finish. So even if, yeah, Great Britain, there is, yeah, the elite field is not anywhere close what you get in Norway or Sweden or Finland. But still, it's, yeah, the depth is good enough that you can have four teams in a relay within half a minute after 1.5 hour of orienteering. So that must have been pretty exciting, where, for example, yeah, Edinburgh University, that were leading after two legs, they dropped down to fourth place. And Fort Valley Orienteers came with Peter Moy on the last leg and took the victory ahead of Peter Hodkinson and his interlopers.
Yeah, quite tight there. And yeah, and a really exciting end of the competition weekend there in Great Britain. In Sweden, it was actually the real start of the season this weekend, I would say, with the first division of Swedish League and the first race in the new-founded Swedish Relay League. It started on Friday with a long distance, and here even National Orienteering Airport had some predictions before the races that were telling Hanna Lundberg ahead of Caroline Olsson and Marie Olsson in this long distance. And Lundberg, she got a place on the podium, but not the winning place.
No, but yeah, I mean, now we've been talking a bit about some races here and there. And I mean, this week, those races are the appetizer. And now we are at the main course, the Swedish League, and the start of the new relay league. And I mean, this weekend was very, very interesting to follow. A lot of good runners in the international, in the individual races, and also a lot of teams in the relay. Good starting fields on both women's side and men's side. And yeah, as you mentioned in our preview last week, I guessed that Hanna Lundberg would win ahead of Caroline Olsson and Marie Olsson. Not my best guessing, and it get worse later on. But yeah, it's.
We were also talking about the biggest surprises so far. This victory here in the women's side, how have you placed that on a surprising list?
Yeah, so yeah, Pia Jongvik, the young Norwegian. She's winning 8 seconds ahead of Johanna Riedefeldt and 10 seconds ahead of Hanne Lundby. And yeah, we know that Pia Jongvik is a really, really good runner. She's an extremely talented and very promising runner for the future. But the future is already now, it seems. Last year, she won 5 medals at Jaywalk. But to step up and win the first big race in the elite class, that's extremely impressive. And it's not like the others were running bad races. And I mean, yeah, Johanna Riedefeldt has a lot of top 10 internationally. Hanna Lundberg had won medals of world champs last year. The same did Andrine Benjaminsen, which is in fourth place here. So I must say it's a surprise, of course, that Pia Jongvik is winning. But I would still only rank it as the second biggest surprise of this weekend.
We can say that we have talked with Pia after this weekend, and you will of course hear that conversation later on. But she commented after this victory that she had done the orienteering easy for herself by simplifying with doing some route choices, easy route choices, a bit around, not going straight everywhere. And one guy who is running really fast and was doing it really good this long distance, that was a guy from competing from Göteborg, Ivo.
Yeah, Max-Peter Beimer. Yeah,
he's... Or should we take the predictions here also?
Do we have to? I mean, it's not my... I'm not that proud of my work here. But yeah, you can go through them.
Victor Svensk was predicted to take the victory ahead of Gustav Bergman and Simon Imach. And all of them were at the top of their result list. But there was another guy who took the victory.
Yeah, yes. So Max-Peter Beimer. We haven't heard much from him lately. He's the kind of guy that he doesn't post much on social media about his training and how it's going and how he's preparing. He's not been running much, if any, of these smaller races early in the spring, so he was a bit of an unknown quantity. But I mean, normally when he comes at these big races, he's in good form and he's at a high level, and I think this kind of orienteering really suits him. He's a fast runner. He has background from track and field and running cross races and so on. He was at I think it was at high school in or college in United States running cross country there. So he's a very fast runner, and he's also a very, very good technical orienteer. And yeah, obviously a great start of the season for him, winning with half a minute ahead of Gustav Bergman. Another surprise in third place, the French runner Guillaume Elias running for Halden. Yeah, he won Blodsliten last year, but this is still a step up, being third here in an extremely strong starting field. My favorite, Victor Svensk, only in fourth place, but the gap was only 50 seconds. It was extremely close. I think it was 12 runners within 3 minutes. And normally you don't see that over races that are 80 minutes long and so on. So I think that's an indication of two things. The terrain is not that physically demanding, so the physical differences are not that big. And two, the visibility and the contour formations is pretty straightforward, meaning it's not extremely difficult, and therefore we see close races.
And this was Beimer's first ever victory in the Swedish League. Yeah, I would have thought he had been winning some races earlier on, but he had a good physical feeling, and even though he lost a bit of focus in the middle of the race, he caught up Emil Svensk, which he felt was important because then the speed got up, and that was quite significant to do the best time of this day, even because it was so tight in the end.
Yeah, first victory, but you can say that, I mean, the last 10 years, it's not a lot of guys that have been winning Swedish League races, because, normally Gustav Bergman, he wins most of them. So he's not leaving much for the others. Only a second place for Gustav, but I mean, that's a good start of the season for him. He's not had the best training winter, But still, with the second place here on the long distance, that must do good for his confidence.
I don't think Gustav Bergman struggled with their confidence, actually.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We can go through the predictions before we take the middle distance results also. And there we also can talk about surprises in the women's class, at least. Predictions was Hanna Lundberg winning ahead of Johanna Riedefeldt and Andrine Benjaminsson. None of them were at the podium, even though Benjaminsson again was really close.
Yeah, Benjaminsson with another fourth place, missing out of the podium with 9 seconds. Johanna Riedefeldt, she abandoned the race after just a few controls, and she did not run the relay on Sunday. So I'm a bit worried that she might be injured. Hopefully, it's nothing serious, and she should be.
As I mentioned, Pia Jungvik is telling in conversation later on that she is injured, but she will definitely running to Jumila. So. It's not so serious.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And then Hanna Lundberg, she was down. She was in the top 15, but not in the top 10. 13, 14 or something like that. A couple of minutes down. So not a great race from her side. But yeah, you're mentioning surprises. Alexandra Hornik took the victory. It's also her first victory in the Swedish League. A very good race from her side. 18 seconds ahead of Pia Jungvik, so a great, great weekend for Pia Jungvik. And then another Norwegian in third place in Marie Olaussen. And it's kind of interesting, yeah, you know, you have Hornik winning, then you have three Norwegians, second, third, and fourth place. Then in fifth place, Malin Agevik Kristiansson. And then in sixth place, you have the best Swede, Helena Karlsson.
She is always almost Norwegian now, you know.
Yeah, I mean, she's living in Oslo, training in Oslo. But, you know, that way you can also count the Norwegian girls as almost as Swedes as they are living in Sweden. But, yeah, the best one from the Swedish national team, Caroline Olsson, all the way down in seventh place. That's a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, quite a surprise there. But even though it's good to see Caroline Olsson running two tough races in Forest again after struggling with injuries quite a lot lately. And Hornik, she was after this victory quoted on that the race was brilliant. She was of course really satisfied with winning this race.
Her GPS was looking really, really good, so obviously it was a good race. And I mean, we have talked a lot about Alexandra Hornik this winter because she was doing so well in these world ranking events in Portugal and Spain early on, and then she had a period where her results were not that impressive. For example, at Lipica Open, she got beaten regularly there by these young Hungarian girls. Last weekend, she ran two races in the south of Sweden, where she got beaten by two junior girls both those days. But obviously, you know, she's been probably she's been training quite good in these weeks and not really racing in these races, and she saved it for the first really big weekend of the year, and that's obviously been working good for her.
Yeah, definitely, and really really good to see that she has been taking steps also this winter. I think she also took steps last winter and last year. In the men's class, we can take the predictions also here with predicting Gustav Bergman winning ahead of Anton Johansson and Simon Hector. And we were finding these guys at the top, but not really on the highest position on the podium.
No, Gustav Bergman, he gets his second place in 2 days. Emil Svensk is winning after being fourth in the long... not fourth, that was Victor. He was in a top 6-7 or something in the long distance, but here he's winning the middle distance. A good race looking from the GPS. And I mean, when you're winning a race in the Swedish League with all the best Swedes, you have to do a really good race. Martin Rehborn in third place. only 21 seconds down. It's really close. I think it was 16 or 17 guys within 2 minutes. So there's the margin of error is almost non-existent when it's so close. There's so many good Swedes at the moment. Fourth place Simon Hector, fifth place Victor Svensk, seventh place Simon Imark, sixth place Simon Imark, seventh place Albin Riedfeldt, and eighth place Anton Johansson. On this list, there's a lot of guys that have won medals internationally, and there are guys that you would expect if there was a World Cup round in the forest next week, you would name all of these as contenders for a top six position. The depth in Sweden is extreme and very, very impressive.
Yeah, and Emil says after his winning race that the race was really good all the way, and he was feeling good, but he was not so comfortable running in the forest so early in the season. I think there has been a lot of snow in Scandinavia this winter, and that's also definitely in Falun where he is living.
Yeah, and then Emil Svensk is also working. Yeah, he's not working 100%, but he's working quite much. So he doesn't have time to go to these long training camps to Tenerife or something like that. So, yeah, or Portugal or Spain to do a lot of orienteering for a couple of weeks. So, yeah, normally then you would expect that the first few weeks of the season, it might not be easy to find the perfect flow directly from the start of the season.
Yeah, but he has a good flow. It's a good flow when he is winning these races, and that was putting Stuart Thune to the favorite position for the relay, ending this first big weekend in Sweden with competition. But of course, we're taking the women's relay first, and here the prediction was Uke Linné ahead of IFK Göteborg and Igtisa. But as you mentioned, Linnea, they had not their all the best teams because of injuries.
Yeah, and a runner like Johanna Riedfeldt, she makes a big difference. I would assume that it was, so the Linnea team was Annick Meister, Susan Lösch, and Pia Jungvik. I'm not sure which one of the Annick Meister or Susan Lösch that came in to replace Johanna Riedfeldt. But Annick Meister, she did a really good first leg, losing only half a minute. Susan Lösch did a decent second leg. She lost almost 4 minutes to the fastest runner, but she had a leg time as around number 10 on the second leg. So she had a good race. But when you in a relay like this with the leg times around 37, 38 minutes, the margins of is small. And when you lose 3-4 minutes, it's really, really hard to come back. And Uke Linné had to settle for a fourth place in the finish.
Yeah, Pia Jungvik brought them up from 9th to number 4 in the last leg. But there was a really fight between two teams from the best of the west coast of Sweden in this relay. And I was wondering if you have talked to your sister after this raffling finish, because she was running last leg for IFK Göteborg here.
No, I haven't heard from her. But yeah, on the last leg, there was a fight between Tilde Backlund from Göteborg Majorna, Ingrid Lundanes from IFK Göteborg, and Vivian Nilsson from UK Pankrishanstad. Pankrishanstad, the surprise of the day, maybe, or the biggest surprise of the day. Full credit to Alva Björk, the junior, that ran a fantastic second leg where she had the fastest time, taking them up from 16th place to the lead. And also Olivia Nilsson did a really good last leg, keeping up with Backlund and Lundanes, and yeah, being in the fight for the victory all the way to the second last control or something like that. But yeah, it's in the end it was all down to the final sprint, and Tilde Backlund, she had the fastest legs and the running. So, a big victory for Göteborg Majorna with a very young team. Eleonora Alinder on the first leg, Eva Ørnhagen Jørgensen on the second leg, and Tilde Backlund on the last leg. I think they are all maximum 22, 23 or something like that. So a young Göteborg Majorna team without Lina Strand, for example, taking the victory here and beating the main rival, IFK Göteborg, in the final like that must be a big moment for them.
Yeah, and Tilde, I was asking her about the races and ambitions before Tio Mila. And, yeah, the race here was really good for all the girls. And about Tio Mila, she's telling that they have no goal about results. But even, of course, it had been really good to beat IFK and also in Tio Mila. So the battle is on there.
Yeah, but that will be extremely hard. I mean, yeah, it's a good IFK Göteborg team, of course, with Victoria Hestad Bjørnstad, Johanna Kjellvik Lefen and Ingrid Lundanes. That's a good team. And yeah, both Victoria and Ingrid should be very, very strong contenders for a spot in the first team of IFK Göteborg. But if everyone was fit and everyone was here, I mean, the three best runners for me of Göteborg is Sarah Hagström, Simone Eberschold and Sanna Fast. So you could say that this first team of IFK Göteborg is really more like a second team of IFK Göteborg. And then of course for Tio Mila, we will probably not see Sarah Hagström after her surgeries earlier this winter. I'm not sure what status is by Sanna Fast, how long she will be out, but she was not taking part this weekend. But yeah, of course, losing Sarah Hagström is a big loss for Göteborg. If they also lose Sanna Fast, it's a big loss test as well. But I mean, they have so many good girls. And for example, here, IFK Göteborg, the third team was in the sixth place. The second team was also around top 10. And they have a lot of runners that were not here. For example, Isia Basse running in France. Mirit Ranödum is not here. So yeah, Göteborg Majorna, they really have to work hard the coming 4 weeks if they want to beat IFK Göteborg in the Tio Mila.
Even though IFK Göteborg was losing the battle in the women's class, they got their revenge in the men's class. But you can take the prediction. The prediction was Stora Tuna winning ahead of IFK Göteborg and UK Ravinen. And yeah, they were in the fight. And about UK Ravinen, we can take that was also an injury in that team this day.
Yeah, so Axel Granqvist on the second leg, he was running with the front group, and then he fell and hurt his hand. So it was like this big open cut. I think he wrote somewhere that it was 12 centimeters open cut. And at first his thought was that, I can run to the finish. I don't run with my hand. But then he had looked at it a bit extra and seen that it was really, really big. And got a bit a bad feeling for that. And they had to abandon the race, which was, of course, a shame that we didn't get to see Gustav Bergman also in the battle on the last leg. But I mean, these things can happen in a relay. We saw also for UK Linné, Albin Riedefeldt was running the last leg and was fighting for a spot around 4, 5, 6 or something like that, and then suddenly he got pain in his knee. He hit his knee on the long distance and to abandon the long distance, and then it worked okay in the middle distance, and then it worked okay for a while in the relay, but then he had some problems and he had to more or less walk the last 2 kilometers and losing a lot of spots. I think so UK Linné first team finished in like 48, 49th position after Albin Riedefeldt losing 14 minutes on the last leg. It's always sad to see these kind of things affecting the relay, especially when it happens for two of the top teams. Orienteering is a rough sport. The best runners are running extremely fast in the terrain. And when you're a bit unlucky with the speed you're holding, with the speed you're running at, I mean, the effects of a crash with a rock or with a stick or something that can be quite brutal.
Yeah, but we should also put in that about Axel Granqvist, he had some stitches in his hand and he is fine. It's he will be fine. After he has been to a doctor now. So that will be okay.
Yeah, and then, so the battle for the victory between Stora Tuna and IFK Göteborg. Victor Svensk ran a really good second leg, getting a gap of around 40 seconds down to Göteborg, meaning that Emil Svensk could run alone in the lead for a long, long time. And it looked to be like Emil Svensk was cruising to victory. It didn't seem like Elias Jonsson could come any closer. And then at one of the controls in the end, Emil seemed to lose his direction slightly, loss of focus perhaps. And then it was an area with 3-4 controls quite close, and he visited both the other two before he came to his own. And by the time he came to his own forkings, then Elias Jonsson and IF Göteborg had already passed, meaning that, yeah, Elias Jonsson knew in IF Göteborg, he was taking IF Göteborg with Håvard Eidsmo, Max-Petter Beimer and himself into a victory. And I think it's the first relevant relay victory for the IF Göteborg men's team since Smålandskavlen 2019. So 4.5 years without a bigger relay victory. I mean, maybe they won the district champs in Gothenburg or something like that, but I'm not counting that.
But for Elias Jonsson, it was he has been winning later than that. He was the last man on the Anthony team winning team winner last year. But it was good to see him in white trousers. Did you see that?
Isn't he always running in white pants?
I thought it was Ante Anui had some other with the green, yellow and black. But no, it was white. And but even though he was not distracted, but he didn't knew that he was passing Emil on when he was missing. So I think he was a bit surprised when he was coming first to the finish.
Yeah, I think a bit before that part, there was an area that was quite open where you could probably see quite far ahead. And I guess at this point, he had probably seen Emil ahead and it's like seeing that, okay, this is too much. I can't, it's not realistic to just run and catch him. And then, you know, when Emil made his mistake, Elias was in, he had a different control, so they did not see each other. But yeah, I mean, that's the beauty for orienteering. It's never over before you're at the finish line. And this time, Emil Svensk, he missed the opportunity. And yeah, Elias Jonsson, he ran a good race. He had the fastest time on the last leg. And he's obviously in really, really good form. And I must say, it is looking good for IF Göteborg with 1 month to Tio Mila victory here. They had also the third team was in the top 10. The second team didn't have a great day. They lost quite a lot of time on the first leg. But yeah, I mean, the IF Göteborg has a lot of runners that are in good form. And they also have Kasper Fosse to put in for Tio Mila. So it will be interesting to see how they are deciding legs in the end. I mean, both Max-Petter Beimer, Elias Jonsson and Kasper Fosse is obviously good candidates for the last leg. Both Beimer and Jonsson running last leg for the Tio Mila winning teams before. Kasper Fosse has also been running a lot of good last legs, so it will be interesting to see how they've put the team out. I mean, with still 4.5 weeks to go, there might be some changes in form or performances. Small injury issues can come up. So it's a bit hard to predict at the moment.
Yeah, and Elias is also telling to Ivan National Opo that they're actually what you are telling, that many of the runners has become stronger during the winter, and we will be really strong this season. But what does he answer about goal and Tio Mila? And then he's replying, you have to ask Max-Petter Beimer. I didn't do that because I think they were sitting in the same car and tried to have fun.
Okay.
With us there.
No, but I mean, you know, Max-Petter Beimer, he's an experienced runner in IF Göteborg, and he has been winning Tio Mila before, and I'm pretty sure that he sets the standard really, really high, and he is expecting his teammates to be at the level where they are good enough to fight for the victory. So my interpretation is that the IF Göteborg is going for the victory at Tio Mila, and that's the big goal, and if they don't make it, it will be seen as a little bit of a disappointment.
You know what they eat at the clubhouse if they're winning, Tio Mila?
Yeah, what's it called? Guldpitt, golden pyttipanna.
Yeah, that's right. But to call one of the runners this weekend's winner in the Swedish league, I was picking Pia Jongvik, and I think could listen to what she has to say and why she is performing so good so early in this season.
I think it's really, really exciting to be looking forward to that. But I think we should talk a little bit more about what happened in the men's relay. Because, yeah, I mean, IFK Göteborg and Stora Tuna were 5 minutes ahead of the others. But, I mean, it was really, really exciting battle for the third place and also a bit the spots further down. So we should put maybe 4 or 5 more minutes into that.
Yeah, and there were some interesting teams there also.
Yeah. So first, it looked like UK Kåre were cruising towards the third place. They started really strong with Eskil Kinneberg and Isak von Kruseskjerna being in the third place after two legs, and with Jonas Gustafsson on the last leg, he was running well for 75% of the leg, and it seemed like the big group behind him was getting closer and closer, but it seemed like he had enough of a margin to stay away until the end. But then he made a significant mistake in control in a green area, turning too soon, losing a couple of minutes and being passed by a lot of teams. So UK Kåre, instead of getting that very, very strong third place, they ended up all the way down in 13th. And then the battle for the third place in the end was very interesting. We had a lot of strong runners there. Anton Johansson for Orion, Martin Regborn chasing from behind with Hagaby. But it was Halden with GM Elias that did really, really good orienteering in the last part. Maybe he had a bit of a shorter forking in the end. It's hard to estimate. But it seemed to me that he had the fastest forking in the last part, and he got the gap he needed, and he could take Halden into third place. A really, really good result for Halden, running with Nils Christian Hellerud, Magne Dali, and then GM Elias. So great weekend for GM Elias with podium on the long distance and a really good last leg here, putting him in the front seat for running the last leg for Halden at Tiomila. And I think it looks good for Halden. Hellerud is in good form. Magne Dali is not at his best, but he's decent. And with one more month of training in spring conditions, he should be fine for Tiomila. Thomas Natvig-Årstad ran a good relay leg for a second or third team. And they also have Aro Aho, the newcomer from Finland. So Halden is a team that... I don't think they would be fighting for the victory at Tiomila, but I think they can get a really, really good position.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, Nydal had a training day down in Østfold, and then the rumor on the street were out, and then both Magne Dali and also the to be called Gaute Stavar retired. They were showing up on that competition training there, and. Putting out their orienteering shoes to get some matching there in the time trail. I think the old guys are getting awake when the spring is coming.
Yeah, and then we have a lot of interesting teams in the top 10. Fourth place, UK Orion. No surprise that they are doing pretty well in a race like this. With Anton Johansson running a very, very fast last leg, he took them up all the way from 22nd to fourth place. Hagaby in fifth place. Martin Regborn was even faster. He went all the way from 29th place to fifth place. And then a bit of a surprise, Uppsal in sixth place after losing more than 4 minutes of the first leg, being down in almost 60th place. Vegard Jarvis Vestergaard and Jürgen Barkley ran really, really well all the way up to sixth place. Södertälje in seventh place. They are always in the top 10. Eighth place is Järla. That's a bit of a positive surprise. We saw a great first leg from Ole Boström, the old superstar, WOC medalist from 2015. He's back at a good level. Uko Denzel got the top 10 place. And then I want to give a shout out to Växjö in 11th place. Noel Brown with a really, really good last leg. One of the fastest times there. And they lost Gustav Rudenfors to Farum Tisvilde. So, I mean, if he was still there, I mean, they would definitely been in the fight for a podium. Farum Tisvilde was one of the teams that we also had some big expectations for. Jakob Steintal was quite early into the changeover on the first legs, but he had mispunched or missed a control, so Fagerntis Wilde was disqualified. So we didn't really get to see what they could go for in the first big test as a new project. Quite close. I mean, Halden in third place was just under 6 minutes behind. And then if we go 2.5 minutes down, we are almost down in 20th position. So a lot of teams were in contention for top three, for top six and so on. And that's the beauty with these kind of relays where the legs are not that long. So the physical difference is not that big. It seemed to me like the forkings were pretty good, so there were some possibilities to make a difference, which you also see that the two best teams, they are more than 5 minutes ahead, and IFK and Stora Tuna has the best teams, and you can see that they, with good enough runners, you can make a difference even if the relay is short and quite close. I think it was a great start of the Swedish Relay League. I have not seen the TV production, but I've heard a lot of positive things about that. So I'm looking forward to the future of the Swedish Relay League.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to the future of this orienteering season. I think when the Swedish League and the Swedish Relay League are kicking on, there is also highlights coming up the coming weekends, also with the big races in Hungary and then some big races in Norway the weekend after that, and then we are going on.
Yeah, and I think especially, so you have in Hungary, you have this kind of, what's it called, Spartacus Cup. And because the European Championship will be held in Hungary this summer, I think there is a lot of good runners that are taking the opportunity to go to the official training camp that the IOC organizers are having and then run these kind of races. So it's kind of a pre-European championship. So hopefully we'll get to see a lot of top runners. I haven't looked at the list of entered runners. But yeah, I'm sure we'll have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about from Spartacus Cup in our next episode.
But about Swedish League and so on, we're seeing here the Swedes are running in the forest here in three tough races. And at the same time, the Swiss national team are in Scotland preparing for World Champs in sprint. What's the best? Maybe as an employee in the Swiss organization or a national team, you have to say the Swiss. But what do you think?
Well, you know, I'm here in Slovenia with the Swiss juniors, and yeah, in 1 week we are doing only 1 day with sprint training. So, you know, when you ask me about that, I always say that Forest is the best training, no matter what. No, but I mean, if we're being serious, I mean, there are so much time to do sprint orienteering, and it makes sense that, yeah, when you do one big weekend with Swedish League races and the Relay League, it makes sense that the best Swedes are taking part there, even if their main focus is the sprint races this summer and the spring in the summer. I mean, you have time for both with a good season plan.
But as an end of this episode, as I've teased also earlier on, I think we should listen to what made Pia Jungvik have such a good start of the season and which goal she has for rest of this season. And then we will be back in 1 week talking about races in Hungary, as we mentioned.
Yeah, so enjoy the interview with Pia, and bye-bye.
For the last part to go!
Even National Orienteering Podcast has reached out to this weekend's biggest runner in the women's class, or biggest surprise, should we say that, Pia? Or what? How come you performing so well this weekend?
Yeah, I must say it was a surprise for me for me too. I've had a good training winter, so I guess I've taken a lot of steps, both physically and maybe technical as well.
Could you tell us a bit about your training? What have you done to become Yeah, a world-class runner over the winter.
I think it's mostly that I've had a good continuity in the training. I haven't been any sick or injured during the winter, so I've been able to train the whole winter and run a lot every week.
Have you increased the volume or anything like that? Any specific for sprint? Or this was forest race, but the world champs are in sprint. Have you done anything like that?
Yeah, so the past winters I've been mostly like skiing when I lived in Oslo, and then last winter I struggled a lot with injuries, so then I've been, of course, increasing the volume of running, and yeah, it's just been going good, I guess, and it's been a lot of, yeah, mostly running on asphalt and indoor on the treadmill. It's been a lot of snow in Uppsala, so yeah. Lots of orienteering, really.
This was orienteering this weekend. Did you see this coming, that you would have one victory and one second place?
No, not at all. I was just coming into the weekend with a goal to just do my best and try to focus on the technical part of the race, and then just, yeah, I thought the pace would be okay, and it really was okay, so then it was good.
Yeah, you were a bit consequent by going out on secure route choices on the long distance. Was that because not so much technical training during winter?
Yeah, maybe. I had a plan beforehand that I would take safe route choices and try to simplify the orienteering, and I guess it's one of the reasons are that I haven't been running so much in the forest, so I thought it was a nice start to try to use the running speed instead.
Did you change that tactic for the middle distance, or was it the same melody then?
I guess the bit of, yeah, the part of trying to simplify the orienteering is good on a middle distance as well, but of course you need to run more straight on a middle distance, so but yeah, the terrain, it was good to try to find some good, I guess, it wasn't so bad to run a bit around on short legs as well.
Is this a kind of terrain that suits you pretty well, or do you have any thoughts about that?
I didn't really think so, actually, but I guess most Scandinavian terrains are quite similar, so that's what I've been training in most of my life. So, but it was a bit different than what I'm used to from back home.
But this performance this weekend, does this change your goal for the season?
No, I wouldn't say that, but it's nice to have some confidence going into the rest of the season, and know that the winter training has been, it's been given results.
What are your goals then?
First of all, it's trying to get selected for the World Cup races and do good races there. That's my main goal.
But I know you're going already on Tuesday to Hungary, and that's a European training camp for the European champs in August. Any plan of that?
Yeah, well, the European champs are also one of the goals, I would say. So it'll be nice to get to see the terrain and run in the forest there.
What exactly are you going to focus on when you're running in these terrains in Hungary?
Well, I haven't been running too much in similar terrain, so it will be a bit new, I guess, and just try to get a hang on how to orienteer there, and I guess the uphills will be a bit tougher than what I've been running in this weekend, so that will be good to try it.
How are you in uphills?
I wouldn't say I have any especially strength there, but I don't think I'm the weakest there either, so we'll see.
There's also some races next weekend. Any ambitions there?
No, I guess we'll see how it goes. I haven't been looking too much into who's going there and how many participants there will be, but for the training, so I haven't put out any specific goals.
How many races are you running? And I know there is a sprint also. And are you running three or four races there, or have you planned that?
Yeah, I'm planning on running all the races. I think there's probably two sprint races and then, or a sprint race and some knockout training as well, and then the races in the weekend as well.
But after the results this weekend, you will be favorite in the forest races. How do you look on that?
I wouldn't put the favorite. I wouldn't say that, but we'll see. The shape is good, so I think physically I'm where I want to be. But yeah, as I said, I don't have so much experience in that type of terrain, so yeah, it will be good to have some trainings there beforehand.
There was also this relay this weekend. We must talk about the relay. Ukolene have big ambitions for Tiomila. Which answer did you get on Sunday?
Yeah, I think we did really good. We had, or both Johanna and Ida had to step down from the first team. They both got injured on Saturday, so it was quite a big change in our team. But yeah, then I think fourth place is really good, and all three did really good relay legs, so we're very happy about the results.
What's your ambitions when we're looking at Tiomila?
Yeah, I think we have really good chances. We've been training good as a group the whole winter, and I think we aim for top positions there. But yeah, we'll see how it goes in the next few weeks, and hope that all girls will be able to start when Team Mila comes.
Yeah, because the injuries are not so so big that they will be away from orienteering for a long time.
No, I don't think so. So I guess they will come back.
So it's looking bright both for Ukolene and Pyeongchang Week when we are just started the orienteering season.
Yeah, I would say so. It's And this weekend has been really good, so I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, it sounds good. Thanks for having time to talk with us. And yeah, keep healthy and free of injury. Then it will be exciting to follow your rest of the season also.
Yeah, thank you. Mannen drog ut och löp orientering med kart och kompass och med riktiga sko. Sikta sågar ett bästa notering för kroppen var lätt och god.
I vår National Orienteering Podcast, Map and Compass, Navigation Skill, Orienteering Competition.
Jag har mött någon jävlig på posten här uppe.
Running like a motherfucker. I vår National Orienteering Podcast.